One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to July 20th, 2021. The Art of Subversion. If you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible assets like gold and silver, talk to our sponsor, Tony Arterburn, over at Wise Wolf. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Ah, how about
Swangled in Fort Lauderdale?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How is everybody doing today? Hopefully you're listening to this while you're doing something fun or you're at the gym working out, doing something to improve your life, hopefully. If you enjoy this show, please take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family because that is the only way this is going to grow. I'm so humbled and thankful for the amazing support that you all have shown me. It is amazing to me. I just thank you so much. Hopefully you like what we're doing here. And if you are so inclined, you can rate the show through iTunes or whatever your podcast playing platform is. You can give it a 5-star rating and write a little something about it. Maybe help convince other people who are unsure to check it out. Or to not check it out, whatever their preference is. And thank you, as usual, to our amazing sponsors. C60 Purple Power has been amazing to us. Ken Schwartz, the founder of the company, has he even came over and hung out with me. It was fun. We had a really good time. We recorded a crazy interview that went out on Rockfin as a premium content because it was so wild. It had to. So if you're interested in checking out what Ken, the scientist from C60 Purple Power, has, what his thoughts are on UFOs and aliens and all that stuff, believe me, you might want to go head over to Rockfin. It was wild. So thank you to C60 Purple Power. They have been fantastic. You can go to their website and use the promo code MACRO to see if there's anything there that that lines up with what you're looking for. And I would also suggest you take a look at chemicalfreebody.com/macro because they set up a special deal for us For anybody that was interested in doing the Total Energy and Detox Bundle, which is what I did, when Tim James challenged me to do that, you give a couple bottles of containers of Green 85 juice formula. It's these jars with green powder. You add a scoop plus some water, mix it all up and drink it. Looks kind of strange first time. When you drink it, you'll find out it tastes a whole lot better than it looks. And you'll also get gut detox, toxin detox, probiotics, and ultra enzymes. These are four little containers that have capsules in it. You just take a couple capsules every morning and go about your day. It quite literally takes you about 5 minutes to mix up this drink and drink it, take your little capsules, and get on with your day. If you don't have 5 minutes, then you're very busy. But I would suggest you at least take a look at this. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. I did a little video showing you the results that I had. Tim said that what would happen is while you're eating, like your normal amount that you are used to eating, you'll get about halfway through and you'll just be like, I'm kind of full. And that's exactly what happened to me. So it is in part because your body is getting all this nutrition from Green 85 that your body just feels full. And so the combination of getting more nutrition, eating less food, and of course, you know, you've also got to work out too. That's sort of part of it. But this is an easy one. This is kind of a no-brainer. You've got to go check it out. And just get it and incorporate it into your life for 90 days. That's really it. And then after 90 days, if you're like, it didn't do anything for me, then whatever. Actually, if it didn't do anything to you, send it back to Tim because he has like a double your money back guarantee on it. So I don't think many people have taken him up on that offer, but it's out there. It's out there. He believes in his product. I do too. That's the reason why he's one of the sponsors. He's doing great things. And as the name suggests, chemical-free body. There's no chemicals in his products. So it's worth taking a look. He's a small business owner located in Oregon, and he is very much involved in this fight for freedom and this standing up against insanity. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today, and that is what we've been seeing over the last, the last 2 years it's been magnified, but the last, I'd say 10 years or so, we have seen, at least in the United States, but I don't think it's limited to the United States, but we have seen a real change in society. And yes, society's always kind of changing. We're always evolving and things like that. But that's not what I'm talking about. This is a push towards a remaking of society, and not in a good way either. This is not like, oh, we've got some problems. Let's take care of these problems and fix it. And then we're going to change society and all these things are going to be good. I wish that's what we were up against. But it's not. See, there is a term for this, and it's a term that doesn't get used enough as far as I'm concerned. But when you're trying to put a description on what we've been seeing, let's just say that it's over the last couple of years. Trump came in, you know, he's the big disruptor. He very polarizing, you know, people either loved him or hated him, and he was able to divide up society. I don't think that was accidental. I think that that's part of his role in this whole thing, is to further divide people into smaller and smaller groups. But he's not the only person, or he was not the driving force necessarily in the changes that were happening to society. I think they were really put into place under Obama. I think once you understand sort of the topic of this, we'll go back to Obama and some of the policies that he put in place laid the groundwork for this. And what I'm talking about is subversion, because that's what we're really dealing with here. Cultural Marxism and the changes that we're seeing in society, and you know that San Francisco, if you go to a Walgreens, people are just stealing whatever they want out of that. this is not accidental. It's not random, disjointed actions that just seem to be springing up out of nowhere. It's coordinated. It is a program of subversion. And we're going to call it what it is. We're not going to fuck around and be nice about it and give it some title that waters it down. We're just going to call it what it is. Subversion. And the people that are participating in this need to be called out for what they are. You know, the Biden administration is going around talking about everybody's a domestic terrorist. Yeah, you know what's funny? Everybody's a domestic terrorist except the actual domestic terrorists. Funny how that is, right? BLM, literal domestic terrorists. Can't call them that. You can't mention that name. Antifa, literal domestic terror. Can't talk. It's mostly peaceful protesting. So it's like, everybody that isn't a domestic terrorist is getting labeled as one, and all the people that are actual domestic terrorists are not. That's subversion. That's a tactic. That is an ideology. And it's not new. We didn't invent it. It's not something fresh for the United States. It's been going on for a long, long time. You remember Yuri Bezmenov, the guy that is getting, you know, he gets interviewed in the early 80s by G. Edward Griffin, and he's talking about this. He came from the Soviet Union. He understood this. He's an ex-KGB agent. I mean, this guy understood it better than anybody. This is something that he said. He said, in the context of the USA, most of these nasty things are done to America by Americans with the ideological help of the communist subverters. Most of the actions are overt, legitimate, and easily identifiable. The only trouble is they are stretched in time. In other words, the process of subversion is such a long-term process that an average individual, due to the short time span of his historical memory, is unable to perceive the process of subversion as a constant and willful effort. That is exactly how it is intended to be. Like the small hand of your watch, you know it moves, but you cannot see it moving. So, you know, it takes a KGB agent to recognize subversion when he sees it. As they say, game recognizes game. Subversion tactics are easily spotted by people that work in the industry of subversion. They can see it crystal clear. The rest of us aren't looking for it. We aren't expecting it. That's the reason why we don't see it. They've come up with fancy names for it. They've tried to label it one thing as opposed to another. They've tried to make it seem disjointed and not connected. But when you examine what's actually happening and you pull back far enough to get a bigger aerial view of it all, it starts to fit and you go, oh yeah, oh, there it is. It was right here in front of me all along. I just didn't recognize it for what it was. So what is subversion? Well, this is how it's defined. Subversion refers to a process by which the values and principles of a system in place are contradicted or reversed in an attempt to transform the established social order and its structures of power, authority, hierarchy, and social norms. That's what we're living through. In case you didn't know what to call it, you knew that there was a problem and you knew that there were these LARPing retards out there throwing Molotov cocktails, and you recognize that there's an agenda happening, and you know that Soros is involved, and you know that the school system is teaching crazy shit, and you know that there's tranny story time for four-year-olds and all these things. And you see all these things and you're going, yeah, there's something wrong here. What is happening? What is happening is subversion. Let's call it what it is. the process by which the values and principles of a system are contradicted or reversed in an attempt to transform this social order. Period. That's what we're witnessing. It's what we're living through. And Yuri Bezmenov is correct in his assessment that the reason why we haven't been able to spot it sooner is because it's slow. It's incrementalism. It's as David Icke describes the totalitarian tiptoe, you don't go from A to Z all at once. You go from A to B and B to C and C to D. And that's how you make these incremental tiny moves. Now, you have to have the ability for long-term thinking, and you have to have the willingness to play the long game. And I think that for a certain segment that are interested in transforming society, like this New World Order group, I think that over the last 50 years or so, they have been intimately involved in subversion, but they have been using the Yuri Bezmenov / KGB style of making this almost glacial in its pace. Because when you do it that way, two things happen. One, nobody notices it. And two, the changes are so subtle that they not only do they get adopted, but then they stick as well. You know, if you go like right off the bat and start telling people something insane, they tend to kind of push back a little bit, or they don't willfully line up for it. But if it's something that's more subtle and it takes it's not that you're telling people that they, you know, that they have to believe one thing or another. You just slowly start to drip out information about a topic and let that kind of build and make it appear to be an organic movement. That's how you do it if you want it to be solid and you want those changes to be permanent. How you don't do it is what we've had in the last year and a half, which is like a frantic sprint to destroy the fabric of society. And it's happening so much faster than it normally happens that it is making itself more noticeable because of that. You know, like it's like a sniper that's like laying down in the bushes and is covered with weeds and his ghillie suit, and he's just slowly creeping to the right position, because he knows if he moves too quickly out of the corner of your eye, you might see him and you might notice that movement. So you've got to go real slow. 2020 is the sniper standing up and running to the spot where he's trying to get and then plopping himself down. That'll get you killed. That'll get you noticed. That'll get people to recognize that there's something happening that is supposed to be hidden, but I just spotted it. And that's what we've had over the last 18 months. The subversion is out in the open now. And now we're going, I see it. I see it in all of these aspects. I recognize it now. I didn't know what I was looking for until you did that thing. And now, because you did that thing, I'm watching you and I see the other things you're doing. That's how this works. That's how it falls apart. What subversion is it's an attack on public morale. It's a tool to achieve political goals, because it carries less risk than being openly belligerent, let's just say. So you've got open belligerence as one option, and you've got hidden, you know, quiet subversion as another one. What do you think is more effective? The quiet subversion is more effective because people don't know to put their guard up. They don't see it coming. With the openness, with the, you know, the outright belligerency, you recognize that. You see that it's they're making a lot of noise. You have plenty of time to say, okay, I'm I'm not interested in this, and put your guard up, your critical thinking walls go up, and all those things. But if it's hidden from you, you don't know. You don't know to be on guard. So it's very effective in that way. And it's but there are some downsides to the concept or the implementation of a subversion tactic or a agenda. It requires a lot of manpower. You know, a lot of people need to be involved, as opposed to something like, say, I don't know, outright terrorism, where you can have a small team that can set off a charge and blow something up or whatever, create a false flag. You can do that with a small group of people. Whereas subversion requires a cultural shift. It requires thought leaders to be involved. It's a longer term play. It works better for creating more permanent changes, but it requires more effort. So there's a trade-off there. It's not sedition. Okay. Just to sort of to delineate here. It's not sedition. It's not outright attacks on institutions. It's far more subtle. It's the death by a thousand paper cuts sort of concept here, where you make a thousand little changes that then add up to a societal change. And if you do it correctly, and by correctly, I mean in a devious fashion, nobody seems to notice until they've just assimilated and they look back on where they were and they go, holy shit, I'm eating crickets. You know, it's like that. You know, it's like, honey, which grasshoppers are we ordering for dinner tonight? And then someone goes, hey, why the fuck are we eating grasshoppers? And you go, I don't know. Klaus Schwab was talking about it. And then I saw this rapper and then my favorite actor started. And I don't know why I'm eating grass. Why am I eating grasshoppers? Because you walked into it. Because it was done slowly over time. Now, I don't know if any of us are going to get to the point where we're willingly eating grasshoppers and unable to figure out where it all came from. We're not going to fall into that trap. But just think about the dummy at your office that's like, yo, man, did you see what CNN said today? Like, I got the Delta variant's coming. It's going to kill everybody. And you're like, that guy will be eating grasshoppers. And he'll be like, man, these grasshoppers are fucking delicious, man. What, like, we going to Buffalo Wild grasshoppers? You know what I mean? Like it will happen for him and he'll never figure it out. He'll never figure out how he walked himself into that. Like, as a kid, you ate hot dogs and hamburgers. Now you're talking about eating bugs. How does that happen? It happens because of a change in culture. And the way you change a culture in a negative way is through subversion. And so that is what we're seeing. Now, there's internal versions of it and external. There's external forces. So you're talking about let's talk about as an example of external subversion, foreign interference in our elections. You know, Russia interfered in our election. Just kidding. Look, I suspect that every foreign government wants to interfere in our election in some way, shape, or form. We've got spying on us from our trusted allies in the Middle East, right? That's external subversion to stuffing everybody in Congress and making them sign AIPAC loyalty oaths. That's right out on Front Street. That is external foreign subversion in American, quote, democracy, whatever the fuck that means these days. You have the role of the New World Order / World Economic Forum people. That's foreign interference and subversion. Classic case. You have China's infiltration of the Biden administration. And I'm not going to go down like the Epoch Times path where everything is China and everything is Biden and everything. I'm not going to play that game. But the Chinese government is so comfortable with their relationship with the Biden administration that when that high-ranking Chinese spy, the guy that was like the head of like foreign international spying, he was like a really high-ranking guy that defected from China. I don't know if you've heard about this story. It hasn't gotten a whole lot of mainstream media headlines, probably because the way in which he did it. He faked that he was, or maybe he was actually going to his kid's graduation at a university in the United States, went with the family, and they just defected. But what's interesting about that was who he ran to, or who he didn't run to. This Chinese spy did not go to the CIA, and he did not go to the FBI. He went to the DIA. And the reason why he went to the DIA was because he said, I can't go to the FBI or the CIA to give them this information. Those two organizations are already infiltrated with our people, and I'll be dead if I do that. Ooh. So we already have external subversion happening inside the United States through the FBI and the CIA, because this guy was telling his people at the DIA, which was an organization created by Kennedy, because he didn't trust the CIA either. He wanted an organization that was directly under him. And this spy went to the DIA as opposed to the other intelligence agencies where he could have gone, because in his words, those other intelligence agencies are already compromised by the Chinese. And if your life depends on it, and if you are at the head, if you're the top of the foreign component of the Chinese spy agency, you would know that. That's information that you would not only know, you would be proud of and would have been using for a very long time. So that guy knew not to go to those organizations because he knew who was in those organizations because he was in a position to know. So the United States, just to put this in a perspective that we can understand, if you want to talk about external and foreign subversion, just look what we as the United States government, not we the people, of course, but the government does to foreign countries. This is quite literally our specialty, especially of the CIA. We do this all the time through giving out money, selling weapons to certain countries, but not the others, by using the SWIFT banking system as a method of control, of shutting certain countries out of using it, like Iran, if they get on the wrong side of us. We do this subversion by slapping sanctions on countries like Yemen, and others that we've used at all, you know, for decades. We've been doing this. The petrodollar arrangement is a form of this. And of course, the propaganda that we use. This is our version of external subversion of foreign countries. Why should we be surprised when it comes and is turned on us? Of course, we shouldn't be. This is to be expected. So we know what happens with external subversion. We do it as a matter of daily standard operating procedures in the United States. And we know how effective it is. We use it to regime change countries. We use it to manipulate their elections. We use it to manipulate their currency. We use it however we need to use it to make some foreign country do what we want them to do. And if they aren't doing what they want, what we want them to do, we will find a way to make them do it. And if that means sending death squads to murder people in Central America, we've done it. If it involves overthrowing dictators and blowing up buildings, we've done it. If it involves blowing up our own fucking buildings, we've done it. Okay? FBI, we're talking about you. So we have internal subversion as well. And what you've been seeing on a societal level from these cultural Marxists that have been making their way into the country over the last 10 years is nothing short of astounding. And this is why I said Obama was involved. Now we know about his history, or maybe we don't. You know, his upbringing. He was tied to this. He was brought up in a Marxist home. You know, I mean, there's real questions about who he was. Why are all of his records sealed? You know, so there's some more cartoonish things of, you know, I'm not going to get into it because I can't prove any of that. But, and we don't need to, but what we do know is that what was started under Obama was the groundwork that was laying the foundation for this type of cultural subversion. With things like the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, which legalized propaganda inside the United States to be used on Americans. Now, that is something that we have used for decades externally. Worked so well, decided to use it on our own people. That was Obama that did that. I know everybody wants to call Trump a Nazi and all these things, and maybe he is. I don't know. Maybe, you know, those people can make a case that Trump is. I'm not here to defend the guy. But if Obama isn't in the conversation, then you're not having a real conversation about it. Because these things were done under him. What about when Tom DeLay was talking about the normalization of 12 perversions, including bestiality? Now, when he talked about that, I don't know, 8 years ago, he sounded unhinged. He did it with a straight face. He was very calm. It's on video. You can watch it. Watch the interview. But guess what? He was right. He was absolutely right. Not all of the 12 perversions that he talked about have become normalized. But some of the ones that he was talking about that sounded like, you know, he was saying pedophilia and bestiality. Those are two that you go, okay, that's not going to happen, right? That's not going to happen. Really? Have you seen the normalization of pedophilia through Netflix, through tranny story time? And look, I'm not trying to shit on transsexual people. They've got it hard enough already. Okay. To be born with multiple sets of sex organs has got to be unbelievably confusing. And I can't pretend and wouldn't want to pretend to what that, you know, to know what that is like. It's got to be rough. My problem is not with those people. My problem is when you've got a 6'5" man who's wearing a very short skirt and no underwear underneath and is dressed up like B. Arthur on acid and is doing story time for a bunch of 3- and 4-year-olds when they're all sitting cross-legged on the ground and the tranny's rolling over backwards and spreading her legs and laughing about all of this. That is not normal. That is not okay. That is the normalization of perversions. Now, I'm not saying that being transsexual is a perversion. I'm saying that being cartoonish about it in that manner is a perversion. And I'm sorry if that annoys or rubs somebody the wrong way. And I'm sorry if someone says, you're transphobic for that. I don't give a flying fuck. I just don't. Okay. I have a young daughter. That's not okay. There's a certain age range where kids start to have to learn about these things and you deal with that and cross that bridge when you get to it. 4, 5, 6 years old sitting around with this cartoonish figure because what, we're just trying to pretend that everybody's the same? Everybody's not the same. This isn't accidental. When Tom DeLay is talking about the normalization of 12 perversions, that's because he's sitting in a meeting where they're talking about how they're going to do it. That's the reason why he can be correct about this. And fuck, for all I know, Tom DeLay is wrong about every other thing in the world that he's ever talked about. I don't really know too much about the guy, except that, I mean, it would be a little bit funnier if it was Lindsey Graham coming out talking about normalizing 12 perversions, you know, Lady G. But it didn't stop there. And that's, you know, societal transformations happen all the time. Okay. And I'm all for progress. provided that it's logical and makes sense, and we're not in the process of this progress, we're not retarding the development of kids, or we're not traumatizing them, or we're not doing anything illegal or on the fringe. But we are doing that. It is on the fringe. It is borderline illegal. And we're being told that any sort of questioning of this, of us saying, hey, hang on a second, let's have a conversation about this before we allow tranny story time for the 4-year-olds with the large gentleman who's not wearing underwear. Let's talk about this. Now, what they've convinced you is that we're not even allowed to talk about it anymore. That to want to have a conversation about that and discuss it is transphobic or homophobic or whatever phobic. It's some, you're a racist of some kind. Never mind the fact that the word phobic means fear. So it's not a fear of these people. It's questioning the sanity of inviting this into a school for the wrong set of kids at the wrong age. That's what I'm saying. You're not allowed to have the conversation. You're not allowed to talk about why are we putting a third bathroom in here? Is this really that big of an issue? Is what's holding the United States back as a society the very obvious and dangerous fact that we have only been using 2 bathrooms this whole time? Is that what it is? Because if the problem is that we've only had 2 bathrooms and the solution to all of our problems is to add a third bathroom, then we can add a third bathroom. But I get the feeling that it's not about the bathroom and that it's not going to stop with a third bathroom. Next thing you know, you'll have men competing in women's sports. You'll have pride. Hey, you remember gay pride parades? That's fine. That's cool. You know, look, man, I grew up in Palm Springs. Huge gay community there. Got nothing but love for the gay community. Okay. Great people, fascinating people, super creative, some really, really amazing, nice people. You want to have a gay pride parade? None of my business. Have fun. I've got zero problem with that. Do we have to have Pride Month, though? I mean, does it have to go on all month? I guess, maybe. We have Black History Month, right? So maybe as in an attempt to even things out, we're going to sort of overemphasize the fact we're going to have a Black History the entire month. Okay, fine. Once again, it doesn't bother me. I don't really care. It's fine. Do I think we should study Black History? Yeah. We should study all history, but I don't care if it's Black history or white history or green history. What I'd prefer is if we studied actual history, not agenda driven, not woke driven history, not this version, not America centric history where Christopher Columbus sailed to, you know, 1492 and blah, blah, blah. And then Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria. And then they discovered the New World and there was nobody there except some Indians. And we all had a big cookout. Stop that version of history because it's embarrassing and laughable. And it's not true. Okay. It's just not true. So we've got, you know, Black History Month. That's fine as long as we're teaching something that's real. We have Gay Pride Month, the month of June. That's fine as long as it's not just being used as some sort of woke narrative recruiting video where companies are literally shamed into having to put the pride flag, which is, by the way, a constantly changing flag. I don't know if you've seen it recently. It's undergone a new makeover and it makes no fucking sense. I'll be honest with you. Good luck trying to figure out why they added some weird circle to it. Doesn't make sense. So it's like, fine. You want to be proud of the gay community? Good. We should be. Congratulations. But you don't get a parking spot. You know what I mean? and you don't get a national holiday. It's like, it, there are limits to this, but now it's been corporatized, and that's not accidental. That's part of this push. The pronoun people, they don't even know. I mean, it's exhausting when I think about the pronoun people. I can't take them seriously, you know, because somebody might commit a microaggression by referring to them by the wrong pronoun. You know who cares about that? Nobody fucking cares about that. They just don't, except for the pronoun people who have had such a soft life that the only thing that they don't have anything legitimate to complain about, that they've now decided that they need to be, that they've been oppressed. They've been oppressed and people have been referring to them by the wrong pronouns. Listen, if the worst thing that happens to you in life is that somebody calls you by the wrong pronouns, consider your life to be a big success. Well, maybe not actually, now that you think about it, because adversity, you know, turns people, you know, builds character. And if you've had no adversity and the only thing that's wrong with you is that, you know, somebody called you a he when you're clearly non-binary, well, then your life has been fairly soft and easy. But this is an internal version of subversion. And it happens from a variety of different angles. So as an example, let's talk about something that is clear. I mentioned a little bit earlier, and that is what's going on in San Francisco. Now, Target has decided that they're closing several stores in San Francisco at 6 o'clock. They can't stay open late. You know why? Because if you go into a Target, you can steal anything up to $950 worth of merchandise and walk out of the store, and the police will not show up. And if they do show up, you'll get a misdemeanor ticket and they'll let you go and they won't even book you. Now, why is this? You've seen the videos of Walgreens, which is a drugstore. Maybe it was a CVS, whatever. CVS and Walgreens. Most of us in the United States, we can't even tell which one we're in half the time. They look kind of the same. It's a drugstore. It sells, you know, cold medicine and makeup and toilet paper and magazines and all kinds of crazy shit. And you can go in there and get just about anything that you need. You can get in and out really quick, a couple minutes and you're done. Well, you've seen the video in San Francisco of the guy who's like loading up a trash bag with all of this stuff and like loading it onto his bicycle and then just rides his bicycle right out the door. And nobody stops him. Nobody hits him with a 2x4. Nobody calls the police. Nobody pours gasoline on him and lights him on fire. Nobody does anything. They just stand there and watch him. They just film him doing this. And so what did CVS and Walgreens decide? We're closing our stores in San Francisco. Okay, this experiment is not working. But why was this experiment happening in the first place? Well, I'll tell you why. It wasn't accidental. It's because they started electing local judges and district attorneys that came from a very particular background. They were financed by George Soros, by his group. They're financed by the Tides Foundation and the Brennan Center for Justice. These are all Soros-backed or Soros-linked groups. And what they do is they take money during the when we have elections, local elections for positions like district attorney or, you know, mayor or whatever. They're going after, you know, Soros and his crew has always been viewed as being heavily involved in the national political circus. But somewhere along the way, they decided to pivot to the local government, and they've started being active in financing these people. So in San Francisco, you have a district attorney named Chesa Bowden, who is, oh God, I mean, the encapsulation of everything that's wrong in America, I would say. This guy, who I guarantee you has pronouns in his Twitter bio, which I haven't gone to, but I'm positive he does. His parents were found guilty of murder. His parents were members of the Weather Underground. Domestic terrorists. You know that term that Joe Biden keeps throwing around? Domestic terrorists. Like Susan Rosenberg, the head of finance for BLM, she's a domestic terrorist. Chesa Boudin's parents were domestic terrorists. Guilty of murder. Killing people through the Weather Underground. Raised by radicals. This is the type of person that George Soros' organizations finances. Because what did they get with him? They got no rules in San Francisco. This is the guy that put that rule in. Anything under 950, they're not going to prosecute. They're not going to send the police out there. You know that there is an app you can get on your phone if you live in San Francisco that will show you visually with little emojis where human shit is on the streets and sidewalks so that you can avoid it. The experiment ain't working, San Francisco. You're either a millionaire or you shit on the sidewalk. Nothing in between. Those are your two choices. And the reason why this is allowed to happen is because of people like Chesa Boudin. And this is not some accident. He didn't slip through the cracks. He wasn't super charismatic and went door to door and met everybody. No. This is a Soros operation. This is how you subvert a country. You do it in ways like this. And get ready, because more of it's coming. This is the reason why you see things like what Ted Wheeler did. You have Chaz/Chop, which to me still is one of the top five funniest things that happened in 2020, that these morons got together and decided they were creating their autonomous zone. And then they decided that in order to have their autonomous zone, they needed to grow their own food. So they immediately got potting soil and sprinkled it all over used cardboard pizza boxes, and then put little plants there and covered them up with potting soil and started watering them and decided they were making a garden. Now, to all of us, this is laughable and comical and like bordering on parody. But to these people, it's very real. They have been indoctrinated and they think they're revolutionaries. They are LARPing retards, pretending to be revolutionaries, but they can't even grow food. They're trying to plant tomato plants on cardboard pizza boxes and planting and potting soil. They're morons. They're incapable of critical thinking. But this is what happens when you plant the seeds years in advance and encourage this sort of behavior, you wind up getting what you get. But this internal subversion happens on a variety of different avenues. The media, my favorite, right? The media and advertisers have gotten in on this. You know, what's Disney's role in targeting children, huh? They're involved in it. We know all about it. Super Bowl halftime shows with the satanic imagery and the triangles and all of that. MTV Music Awards, movie awards, the ones that they do, which are mimicking or performing outright rituals and ceremonies, satanic imagery. Cardi B is promoted, wet ass pussy, right? All that everywhere you go. Oh, I don't know if we should have kids listening to this. No. Have kids listen to it. It's part of the plan, right? Lil Nas X and his Satanism and hey, guess what? I just found out I'm gay, right? That's what he said. He goes, oh, this year was great for me. I had a number one hit. And guess what? I found out I'm gay. It's an agenda. I'm not saying being gay is an agenda. But when you're one of these Hollywood rappers, Lil Baby or Lil whatever, you're part of this. You're being used. You're a tool. Here's money and fame. but we need you to do something. You're going to be selling an image. Lil Nas X is going to be selling Satanism. Look at his shoes. Look at the Nike shoes. The 666 of them have been made, and they have real blood in them and all this. We recognize this for what it is, right? You've got, over the summer of 2020 and beyond, you have defund the police. Defund the police. Okay, look, I've got big problems with the police. Their 1033 program is garbage. The way they're trained is to escalate situations, not de-escalate them. A culture of covering up for your buddies, rampant steroid use, 40% of all marriages are involving police, involve domestic violence. Some of the worst people become cops. They just do. Not all of you, not shitting on all of you, but if you're a good cop and you're working in the system, you know what I'm talking about. You see those shitheads, but the system is set up where they can't report it lest they be targeted themselves. The subversion was on full display in 2020 with BLM. Now, let me differentiate between BLM, registered trademark, and the black community. I've said this before, I'll say it again, because when you're talking about these super sensitive topics, you sort of have to give the disclaimer every time. BLM corporate is not the black community. It's about as far from the black community as you can get. It might as well be White Lives Matter. It's that detached from the black community. And the wheels have come off, and we've seen it. You've seen the founders buy, you know, the Marxist founders buying, going on a mansion shopping spree. You have Susan Rosenberg, the convicted terrorist, running the finances for them. She would still be rotting in prison if Bill Clinton hadn't pardoned her on his way out. She'd still be serving that 60-year prison sentence for blowing up a federal courthouse. So when we say that there are domestic terrorists that are running these organizations, we aren't being hyperbolic here. It's an accurate description. When you have Susan Rosenberg involved in this, it's an accurate description. She is quite literally a convicted domestic terrorist. Unlike the mythical ones that Joe Biden's administration sees everywhere. There's one right in front of their eyes, but they can't see her, right? You've got brick fairies. Acme Bricks just showing up everywhere. Because that's normal. You have riots. Oh, I'm sorry. Mostly peaceful protests. You have Antifa. I mean, I would say that Antifa is what subversion looks like, but it's really not the most accurate picture. Those people they're not bright enough to be running the operation. They're useful idiots and pawns being used in this whole thing, but that's not, you know, they're not running anything. You have the silencing of whistleblowers, Julian Assange, Chelsea Manning, Edward Snowden, John McAfee, John Kiriakou, reality winner. When you allow war criminals to get away with it and you put the whistleblowers in prison, you are living in a severely sick society. We have election interference. We watched what happened with that in 2020. It's everywhere. We have intellectual subversion. Oh, this one's dangerous too. This is through the school system. Common Core, the Common Core curriculum, funded by Bill Gates, promoted by Obama, is a tool of subversion. It's an educational tool. Critical race theory, 1619 program. Same thing. That Yuri Bezmenov talked about this as well. That if you want to transform society, you get access to the schools, the curriculums, and the universities. Mission accomplished. Or at least they're in the process of doing that. Common Core has been adopted throughout the United States. It is an unabashed disaster. Bill Gates is on record even saying that, having to admit that it's a disaster. We've talked about it in episodes before. I don't need to rehash that. But for anyone that thinks that maybe there was some mistake, there's no mistake. It's not accidental. The Common Core curriculum was not something they messed up on, or we had good intentions, but the implementation just didn't really happen the way. But no. This is how you do it. What about the universities? You have professors that have to give trigger warnings to their students before they show them which textbooks are required reading for the semester. Because some dipshit is going to see this textbook and maybe read a word in there that makes him feel all uncomfortable. And he's going to go to the dean of admissions or the dean of the school and say, I need you to get rid of this teacher. He hurt my feelings. He made me read something that made me feel all icky inside. Or you've seen the videos, maybe you haven't, I don't know, of students standing up during their and just protesting in the middle of class. We talked about the removal of the SAT and ACT scores from college admissions inside the state of California. They said, well, these kids they couldn't take the test because of COVID. So we're just going to make it so that the university system in California doesn't look at any of these tests at all for anybody then. When you level the playing field like that, you're just taking everybody down. But that's the point. You explain this to these cultural Marxists and they go, yes, that's right. That's correct. You go, yeah, but when you level the playing field, you take the good kids and put them down on a lower level with all the dummies. Yes, exactly. And your point? These are commies. You know, I used to always laugh when people are like, oh, the commies are coming to get us, you know, and I'm like, I've never even met a communist, you know, well, you know what? These days, these people that are pushing for all this, these are the closest things to communists that I've seen. These maybe really are the commies that we jokingly were supposed to be afraid of for all these years. Back in the 80s or the 70s or you know, Vietnam. Oh, we got to stop the spread of communism. The commies are going to come and get us. They're here. Took them a while, but they got here. They've infiltrated the school system. They've infiltrated the university system. They've designated safe spaces at universities. You have tenured professors teaching anti-white rhetoric and apologizing for their whiteness and saying that they were unwittingly supporting systemic racism, and then they go do some theatrical performance where they apologize and cuck themselves in front of everybody. It's happening, people. You ever see that Ron Paul meme where it's like the GIF, it's like flashing and it says it's happening. It's happening. That's what it's here. We have economic subversion delivered under cover of COVID by the predator class to further divide the people. You have the destruction of small and medium-sized businesses. You have the propping up of large businesses with very different rules for them. And of course, unlimited stimulus money, of course. You have the devaluation of the US dollar that happened under COVID, with 40% of the dollars in existence being created just in 2020. You have supply chain failures. You have power grids going down in Texas. You have oil pipeline issues. Look, economic subversion is happening. They are creating two tiers of society, one for the haves and one for the have-nots. Starvation may be coming. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com if you want to start thinking about getting your emergency survival food. I mean, I'm only half kidding with that. Possum vitamins. Medical subversion. Holy shit. I mean, what did we just live through? Or what are we currently living through? Bought science to support the agenda. Paid off science. Right in front of us. You have the World Economic Forum with their drills for SPARS pandemic and Event 201 that shows advanced knowledge of this stuff. You have this suppression of alternative health treatments like hydrochloroquine, among others. You had blind faith in a push for vaccines without an honest discussion about the risks. How can you tell when you're part of a plot that is seeking to change society? Well, I'll tell you one way you'll recognize it is when you are no longer allowed to have an honest conversation about the changes that are happening. If you raise your hand and say, hey, why are we teaching critical race theory? And the answer is, get that guy out of here. Get that guy out of the auditorium. Don't let him ask that question. Then you're living through an operation, which is what we're experiencing. The role of Fauci and Bill Gates running this, social media's role in suppressing any sort of differences in opinions. The CDC literally changing the definition of the term herd immunity so that it now only shows that you can get herd immunity if you've been vaccinated. They made it so that the term now is defined by only using vaccination, not anything natural. And of course, the lying and changing of the statistics. This is not what you do when you are in a normal, healthy, honest society. What we are seeing right now is the controlled demolition of the American empire. The question is who is planting these bombs? Who is involved in this? There is a philosophy that we need to have the conversation about critical race theory, and we need to have the conversation about safe spaces and removing statues, and we need to have the conversation about adding the third bathroom, and we need to have the there is a philosophy or a line of thinking that says that all of these ideas deserve a seat at the table. Guess what? They do not. They don't deserve a seat at the table. They don't. They're not awarded the right to participate in this conversation. No, no. We will call subversion what it is. Subversion. It does not deserve a seat at the table. It is not part of an honest conversation. There's nothing honest about it. It hasn't earned that right. We don't owe it we'll give it a good look. No. No, no. We don't have to do any of that shit. Do you know what we have to do? Call it what it is. Call it subversion and dismiss it outright. They deserve nothing. Remember, there is no negotiating with terrorists. And what these people are, they're the actual domestic terrorists. If you like this episode, please take the additional step now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you're interested in following my work, you can do so at theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions. Thank you, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.